the book of John in your Bibles, John, the third chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1117, John chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, reading through verse 17. And the text verse being that familiar verse, the 16th verse of the third chapter. And may we stand together, please, all of us standing, as is our custom to do. We'll read the verses responsively. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And together also on verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And let's pray. Father, it's a blessed joy to know thee, to know these who are thine, and to be in this place. Bless our time together. Bless our preacher. Prepare our hearts now and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's the last time that Brother Andy will be singing for us. He and his lovely wife, Kelly, will be leaving tomorrow to go to Santa Clara, California, where he'll become the music director there. And we owe a great debt to the Condits for the blessings they brought us as they've presented us their numbers and music now for these years. It's always hard to say goodbye. I never prepared for that. I started at college. I never realized. I thought we'd get a bunch of robots here and train them and send them all over America. But we found out they weren't robots. And after you've entwined yourselves together in the service of the Lord for a number of years, it's always hard to say goodbye. I've been talking to you for the last few Sundays on the amazing, wonderful, inexhaustible love of God. No series of messages, if you call it that, would be on that subject, would be complete without the greatest of them all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preachers have been emptying jewels from the coffer of John 3:16 for centuries, only to find that each jewel is replaced by another, and the coffer is always full. Theologians have been dipping truths from the ocean of John 3:16 as long as there's been a theologian. But no matter how many cups they dip from the vastness of this great ocean, it never runs dry. It's always as full the next time you come to glean from it as it was the last time you left it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, bless this message this morning. And may I have the undivided attention of our people as we examine the vastness, the depth, the height, the breadth of the love of God. Speak to us in a sweet and wonderful way. And may we bathe in the ocean of God's love today and find cleansing for our lives. Amen. When Martin Luther was near death, he began to have severe headaches on his deathbed. They prescribed a strong medicine for him. Martin Luther refused to take this prescription for his headaches. "No," said he, "the best prescription for headaches and for the head and the heart is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And not long after that, he was gone. Let us just take it for a few moments and look at it word by word. "For God so loved." That little word "so" is scarcely used in the Bible. It's used concerning things indescribable. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How great is salvation? Who knows? It's so great. Describe it, and you still fall short. Writers with their quills have tried to write of the greatness of salvation, and all have failed. Sculptors with their chisels have tried to show us the greatness of salvation, but all have failed. Artists with their brushes have tried to paint for us the greatness of salvation, but all have failed. So great salvation. How great? Who knows? It's just so great. How great is the love of God? God so loved the world. How great? Who knows? It's just so great. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. God so loved the world. How much? As much as the twinkling-eyed bride who exchanges rings and vows at the altar on her wedding day? More than that. As much as the beaming groom who looks at the loveliest face he ever saw and gives his life to share his and mingle his with hers? More than that. As much as a belabored mother now holding a newborn babe near her breast, realizing that life has come from her life? More than that. As much as a proud father looking through the glass at a hospital nursery and realizing that next Father's Day will be his first? More than that. As much as a mother who sits at the altar and wipes a tear as she wonders where the years have gone as her little baby is now a lovely bride? More than that. As much as a choking father who recites, "Her mother and I do," and sits down to wonder how he's going to pay for the wedding? More than that. As much as a silver-threaded couple near the golden gate hold hands and rub their wrinkles together, having realized they've shared the joys and sorrows of life. More than that. How much does God love the world? He so loved the world. For God so loved. He so loved the world. Now, what is love? I don't know what it is. I describe love as being this. Love is a person wanting to see another's needs filled, and wanting to be the one who fills those needs, and wanting that object or that other to also fill his needs. But that's not what love is. Love is more than that. What is love? Love is the doorway through which the human soul passes from selfishness to service. But love is more than that. What is love? Love is the key to the universe which unlocks all its doors. Love is that which gives its all, yet still has more to give. But that's not all that love is.
What is love? Love is that which causes us to look at another's faults through a telescope and not a microscope.
And yet love is more than that. What is love?
Love is the medicine that cures all moral evil. Love is the music which nearest compares to heaven, simply the beating of the heart.
And yet love is more than that. What is love? Love is the marriage of the soul.
What is love? Love is the divine vitality that enriches and restores life to mankind. But love is more than that. God's soul love. What is love? I don't know what it is. I'm not sure.
Love is a sacred flower whose early bud is happiness and whose bloom is service. And yet love is more than that. What is love?
Love is not blind. Because it sees more, it is willing to see less. Love is the essence of God given for the goodness of man. And yet love is more than that. What is love? Love is that for which we were born. That which can make us want to never die. What is love? Love is that which enables a wife to sing while she mops the floor after her husband has walked across it in his barn boots.
But love is more than that. What is love?
Love is that which maketh halitosis smell like incense.
And yet love is more than that.
What is love? Love is what Ingersoll called a divine swoon. Love is that which hopes when reason despairs. And yet love is more than that. What is love? Love is the weapon that is used to conquer rebel man when all else has failed.
What is love? Love is that which melts the winter of the heart.
Love is the fuel for the vehicle of kindness and benevolence. But love is more than that. What is love? Love is the raging river of emotions,
whose expression overflows its banks, and whose tide cannot be stopped, and whose thirst is never quenched. Love is that menu which feeds the unlovely as well as the lovely, and nourishes the unloving as well as the loving, and the unloved as well as the loved.
And yet love is more than that. What is love? Love is selfishly unselfish, confidently jealous, and quietly raging. Love is the ladder on which man climbs to the heavenlies. But love is more than that. What is love?
Love is the bridge between the land of the living and the land of the dead. But love is more than that. Love is the greatest gift exchange between mortal men.
Love is that that marvelous illness that has no cure or remedy,
whose germs make it delightfully contagious.
What is love? Love is sunshine at midnight and warmth at wintertime. Love is the livery of Christ. It is the measuring stick of deity in humanity. And yet love is more than that. What is love? Love is two hearts beating as one and two souls with a single thought. But love is more than that. What is love? Love is a deed which ne'er knoweth repentance and a something that you can do of which you'll never have to be sorry. What is love?
Love is God's special gift to man alone, which his other creatures cannot share. Love is that which binds heart to heart, body to body, and soul to soul. But love is more than that.
Love is the silver link in the silken tie between two hearts. Love is that sacred triangle between one soul, his God, and another. But love is more than that. It is heaven's first fruits on earth. But more than love is more than that. What is love? I don't know. I don't understand it. I sometimes get just a little twinkle of its first star. I sometimes get just a little flash of its brilliant light. I sometimes get one little drop of its mighty ocean, and sometimes there comes into me just enough of it to where I want it. I don't comprehend it, but if I told you what love is this morning, I'd give you one sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
For God, it begins with God.
Love does not begin with man. Love begins with God. And since God is love and God never changes, love never changes. Since God is love and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since God is love and God never dies, then love never dies. Since God is love and God never leaves, then love never leaves. Since God is love and God never fails, then love never fails. Since God is love and God never weakens, then love never weakens. Let me sing to the housetops and shout it to the housetops.
There's a God in heaven who loves the world, not the heavens.
For God so loved the heavens? No. For God so loved the archangels, those ambassadors of mercy? No. So for God so loved the angels, those ministers of righteousness and ministers and servants of God who serve God's people and minister to their needs? No. For God so loved the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's not John 3:16. For God so loved the seraphim? For God so loved the cherubim? No. For God so loved the saints? No. For God so loved the redeemed? No. For God so loved the elect? Foolishness. For God so loved the lovely? No. For God so loved the love? No. For God so loved the lovely? No. For God so loved the world.
All of it. There's not a Hottentot in the jungle that looks to the sky and wonders if the stars are man-made or deity-made whom God does not love. There's not a man stumbling in the ghetto or the rescue mission after having looked for an empty bottle of whiskey that has a few drops left that he may add it to the bottle that had a few drops left that he may add it to the other bottle. Had a few drops left that somehow he may drink enough to escape his sorrows and burdens and loneliness on Father's Day. There's not a father on Skid Row today whose children have disowned him because of his despicable life. There's not one don that walks down the streets of a busy city unloved, uncared for, with a sidewalk for a bed and a rescue mission table for a dining room. Not a one who escapes the love of God. You may go as deep as man is gone, but God's love is deeper. And you may go as high as man is gone, but God's love is higher. And you may go as far as man has gone, but God's love is farther. For God so loved the world with all its scab, with all of its scum, with all of its rot, with all of its filth, with all of its slime, with all of its sin, with all of its vulgarity. For God so loved the world. Let me tell you some good news. God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. Oh, what blessed, marvelous, wonderful news. I'm so glad they didn't say, for God so loved the rich because I was poor. I'm so glad they didn't say, God so loved the strong because I was weak. I'm so glad they didn't say, God so loved the intelligent because I've never been really one of the intellectuals. For God so loved the mighty. Oh, no, no, God so loved the world. There's not a harlot that advertises her wares in the red light district this morning. There's not a one who last night sold her body for a few pieces of silver and stole from some man his virtue. Not a one this morning who's too far for God, away for God to love. For God so loved the harlot, for God so loved the drunkard, for God so loved the skid row bum, for God so loved the murderer. There's not a man languishing in a prison cell today with memories he'd like to forget and bridges he'd like to destroy and dreams that have already been destroyed and a future that'll not ever come and air castles that'll never be rebuilt. There's not a one in a jail cell this morning for whom the God does not love. Spread it on the housetops. Tell it in the jail. Tell it in the rescue mission. Tell it in the red light district. Tell it, tell it, tell it. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only. I can't understand it. Can't comprehend it on Father's Day. God so loved the world. I don't mean the righteous world, the unrighteous world. I don't mean the sinless world, the sinful world. But He gave His only begotten Son. Think about that little boy that called you daddy. Think about that son that sits beside you this morning. Walking up and saying, take him. Before the sun ever rose this morning. I was thinking about a couple in our church. The Carters. They're not up there, they usually are. Whose boy is in Japan today. Before I ever saw the sunrise, I thought about the Carters and that night we had here on a Wednesday night when we dedicated them to the mission field, and that poem I wrote and read about, I give my son to you today. God so loved the world.
I'm not talking about God loving good people, but God loving bad people. He so loved the world that He gave His son. More than that.
He gave His only son. He only had one. A fellow had a dozen sons. It'd be hard enough to give one of them. A fellow had one son. I saw Dr. Bill Rice stand up and preach on this verse one time. He said, I have two boys. But he said, if the salvation of this world depended on me giving my boys and letting them die on a cross, he said, I'm afraid the world will go to hell. I'm not sure what I could say about that. I don't know. But God gave His only Son. In eternity, God didn't take a few hours a week with His Son. Their fellowship was never broken.
It wasn't for 18 years until He went away to college. It wasn't for 21 years until He got married. It was for eternity. There always was. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was toward God. There always was that sweet relationship between the Father and the Son about which our Lord prayed in John 17:5. Father, restore to me the joy which I had with Thee before the world was. And when He was going back to heaven, it says He endured the cross. He was looking. He was anticipating getting back to the Father. But God, you wonder how much God loves you.
You see Him saying goodbye to His Son. His Son to come to earth to be despised of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, rejected and hated and tormented and associated with sinners. He gave His Son. He gave His only Son, but He gave His only Son to die. To die.
That isn't all. I wonder how much God loves you. He gave His only Son to die by crucifixion. Not just to die suddenly with a heart attack, or not to die suddenly in a car wreck, but to die the most shameful death of all by crucifixion, but not only that, to die as a criminal.
The phone rang. I picked it up. One of the dearest friends I have, and preacher friends I have in the country, said, Preacher, so many hundreds and thousands of preachers around the country call me preacher, call me pastor. He said, Pastor, preacher, or pastor. He said, I have a heartache. I need a preacher. And I said, what is it? And called his name. He said, our house burned last night to the ground. Every book I had was burned. All the Bibles I had were burned. All my sermon outlines were burned. And I said, man, I'm sorry. He said, that's not what's bad about it. And I said, what is it? He said, my son set the house on fire. He been on dope. Left home. Wouldn't live with the rules. He burned the house down of his own parents. His own dad and mom and his own sisters. Burned the house. He could hardly contain himself. But our Heavenly Father loved you so much that He gave His Son. He gave His Son to die. He gave His Son to die the shameful death of crucifixion. Not only that, He gave His Son to die alone. 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 I can't think of anything worse than that. No family at the hospital bed to hold your hand. No lips to kiss you as you cross over into the Holy Land. No one to squeeze your hand. No one to say, I love you. No one to say, I appreciate all you've done. Nobody. How much did God love you? He gave His Son. How much He gave His Son to die? How much He gave His Son to die on the cross? How much He gave His Son to die alone? He gave His Son to die disowned. Disowned. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You notice that? He couldn't even call God His Father. He didn't say, my Father, my Father. He said, my God, why? Because the shame of bearing sin and being identified with sinners forfeited His right to call God His Father. He with whom the Father fellowshipped as long as there had been an eternity. And the Father looked down and saw sin on Him and turned His back on Him. I can't comprehend that. And Jesus said, my God,
Why hast thou forsaken me?
That word forsaken is a heap of a word.
It means, why hast thou indicted me? It means, why hast thou convicted me? It means, why hast thou judged me? It means, why hast thou sentenced me? It means, why hast thou disowned me? Why hast thou condemned me?
And he who was love hates sin so much, and he who was holy hates unholiness so much. And he who was clean hates dirt filth so much, and he who was perfect hates imperfection so much. And he who was right hates wrong so much, and he who was rich hates poverty so much he could not even look at his own son.
When his son was dying on the cross, he turned his back on his own son. Why? He didn't see him as his son. He saw him as you and me, our substitute,
taking our place. How much did God love you? God loved you enough that He gave His Son. He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son to die. He gave His only Son to die by crucifixion. He gave His only Son to die disowned. He gave His only Son to die alone. He gave His only Son to die alone and disowned. But He also gave His only Son to die spiritually.
Spiritually.
His own Son dipped His soul into hell. Can you imagine the awfulness of knowing that your own Son dipping His own soul into hell and suffering all the hell that everybody would ever have suffered
had the whole world gone to hell and nobody ever been saved? And God the Father, hey, that's how much He loves you. Don't you ever say again, nobody loves me. Don't you ever say again, I don't think anybody cares. Let me tell you, take all the care of all the friends and all the love of all the lovers
and add it up together, and the person that has not one friend in this world has more love than anybody in the whole world has, because God's love is greater than all the loves of this world added up in one big bundle and packaged up. There's no comparison. Nobody here can say you're not loved, and nobody can say you don't. Nobody cares, and nobody can say nobody understands, because all the understanding in the universe is your way, and all the love in the universe is youward, and all the compassion and mercy in the universe is towards you,
for God so loved the world.
Whosoever. I said this before, that word right there is better than my name written in the Bible. If I could read the Bible this morning and say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Jack Hiles, believe on Him, he should not perish but everlasting life, that would not be as good as that whosoever. Because one day in the mail, I got a letter from a fellow, and he said, Dear Dr. Hiles, I heard about you, and I've read some of your books, and I've heard about you. He said, My name is also Jack Hiles. I wonder if we're related and come the same bloodline. My name is also Jack Hiles. I couldn't believe what I read. One Jack Hiles is enough in this whole world. I couldn't believe what I read. And if God had put it in the Bible, if Jack Hiles would believe on Him, it could have been the other Jack Hiles. But God said, whosoever, that's this Jack Hiles. Believeth, what does that mean? Resteth. Resteth. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. That's what it means. It means I want to live a good life, but that's not why I have eternal life. It means I've been baptized, but that's not why I have eternal life. It means I have believed. I have rested. I have relied upon what Jesus did and not what I did. Or what I do. As Moody used to say, there are two religions in the world, one's do and one's done. The doers go to hell, the donners go to heaven. It's not what I do, but what He's done. This is not new to most of you. But I could not close a message on John 3:16 without that beautiful little story I tell to children that I'll tell again this morning. It's the kind that anybody would love to hear again and again and again. It was Christmas Eve. It was cold. The streets of London were almost bare. The stores that had been beehives of activities are now lonely. It's Christmas Eve. The Christmas trees are decorated and the lights twinkle through the windows of the houses. In almost every house you can see a family gathered around a tree. You can hear little children singing, Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. You can hear little children singing, Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head.
The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Families were gathered around tables. You could look in the windows and see the festivity of the Christmas season. The streets of London were almost bare, except one little boy that had no mom or dad and no family. Was walking down the streets wishing he had a warm house and wishing he had a Christmas tree and wishing that somehow he could believe in Santa Claus again. He walked down the streets, this little coat he had pulled up around his chest and around his neck, shivering in the cold and listening to people as they sang happy songs, looking in windows, watching happy people as they exchanged gifts and as they ate their meals. The little boy was about to freeze. He walked inside the alcove there of a little store where the store came in from the sidewalk. And he got down in the corner as best he could to try to protect himself from the wind. And he pulled his coat around his little neck and began to cry. While he was weeping, he went off to sleep. And suddenly he was awakened. He looked up and there was a kindly old man standing over him looking down. And he said, "Son, what are you doing here?" The little boy said, "I have no other place to be. I don't have any family. I don't have any place to go." The man said, "Son, would you like to have a good warm meal? A place to sleep?" "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would. I would. I would." The old man said, "Follow carefully." He said, "You go down the street here, three blocks. You turn left and you go to come to a street called Mulberry Lane." He said, "You turn right on Mulberry Lane," and he said, "You'll come to a house. It's 316 Mulberry Lane." He said, "When you get to that 316 Mulberry Lane, you walk up on the front porch and you knock on the door." He said, "I don't want you to say anything, son. Not one thing do I want you to say. Don't tell them your name. Don't tell them where you're from. Don't tell them the name, my name, who sent you. Don't tell them one thing. Don't let them know a thing. Every question they ask you, you just answer with these words, John 3:16. That's all you say." The little boy said, "All right, sir." He runs down the street three blocks, turns left, goes to Mulberry Lane, turns right, looks at all the houses to find which one is 316. And there's a big house. He walks up to the house nervously, knocks on the door. Soon the door opens. A kindly, sweet, white-haired old gentleman stands at the door. "What can I do for you, son?" asked the old gentleman. Little boy said, John 3:16. Said, "Son, who sent you here?" He said, John 3:16. He said, "Son, what do you expect here?" He said, John 3:16. "Well, what's your name, son?" He said, John 3:16. He said, "Come on in, son. Anybody can come in over John 3:16. He came in, and there was a tree, a Christmas tree. He'd never seen one before like that. And there was a package on it with his name, or for him, not his name. It said to John 3:16. And the fellow said, "How would you like to have some presents?" And he said, John 3:16. He opened his gift, and the old man said, "Now, would you like to have a meal?" He said, John 3:16. And he sat down a big Christmas meal, turkey dressing and all the trimmings, and had a delicious meal. The little stomach was so full. And then the man said, "How would you like to have a hot bath and some clean clothes and go off to bed?" He said, John 3:16. And the man took him and put him in a bathtub and had a warm bath. He gave him some nice, clean, crisp pajamas. And then he went off to bed. And as the little boy, in the warmth of the first nice bed he slept in years, no doubt, maybe ever, with his little stomach full of good food and little hand grasping a gift that he'd gotten, in the warmth of a home and the love of somebody, the little boy was heard to say, "I sure am thankful for John 3:16. So am I. So am I. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Bible in a Bible.